Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth, recording this episode on Wednesday, January 15, 2020. Listen and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, the host site, and even Spotify. This is episode 400. Can you guys believe it? I can't. I think about quitting this every week, but my guest that I have on is one of the inspirations for this show, and I thought it would be fitting to have him on. You know him, you love him. Rod Morrow from the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Rod, how the hell are you?
Thank you for having me, Chris. I appreciate you reaching out on this big momentous occasion, episode 400 of the Monday Festival, man.
Yeah, man. This is I think you your yellow jacket is in the mail for being like a 6- or 8-time, 20-time guest. I don't know how many episodes you've been on, but
in the words of T'Challa, when they enter Wakanda in the seminal movie Black Panther, this never gets old.
Well, yeah, man, this is great. I've been wanting to have you back on for a while, and I've got some things to discuss with you. One of them being is I went to Publix for the first time last month, and I really like it. I mean, we had I got the chicken tender sandwich, and it was fantastic. We were in North Carolina, and we were coming as we were going down to North Carolina. I saw two Publix stores, like maybe within, like I guess within a 20-mile radius, and I was like, oh man, I didn't know they were up this far, like around the Richmond area. And I said, I just made a note of that. I was like, I want to stop there on the way back, and we did, and it was great. My parents got like
they're really expanding, man. They're all over the place now. They weren't here just maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and now it's like there's one on every corner. And I had heard a lot about them before they moved into North Carolina, and then we got one up the street. And I definitely like it, man. I thought I wasn't going to like it, especially as an introvert, because they, like, walk you out to your car.
Oh, wow.
Groceries. When they first open, they, like, give you a coupon in the parking lot and, you know, chat to you about the weather and shit. You know, I was like, oh, you ain't got to do all that. But, you know, after a while, you know, I actually really like the facilities there. It's very clean.
Yeah.
They have, you know, really good deli section. And, of course, I'd be remiss if I have to mention the Publix chicken is pretty much the draw there. I mean, their deli section is good. Their sandwich and fresh food stuff is good. But everybody knows what it's about, man. It's about that Publix chicken, man. I've been kind of dieting the last, I don't know, 15 days to a month or whatever, probably before that even, to be honest. But I was looking at the results this week. I was like, oh, man, I lost like, you know, 10 pounds. This is good.
That's great.
And then we went to Publix, and they had just put down the fresh fried, bro. I was, man, the struggle was so real to walk out of there without some chicken, man. I made it out that day without the chicken, but I went back like 2 days later and got some. So
good for you. Good for you, though, man. I didn't know. See, it was so hard because, like, when you like, I felt like a kid going to like a Fat Boy theme park. Where it was just like, I was with my dad, and I was like, "Oh, this is my first time here," and so the lady she hooked me up. I think it just depends on the people that make your sandwich, because sometimes if they just they don't give a shit and it's just kind of mediocre, and it's just like but she put love in it, and it was another guy that was making my dad's sandwich that my mother acted like she didn't want anything to eat. And then my dad got a big sandwich. He's like, "Oh, take half of this." She crushed it.
Of course.
Yeah, women always do that.
I do like when someone that works at a place realizes that it's like a thing for you, and then they're like, "Oh, I'm gonna give you the experience," you know, because they could you know, for them, I got to come here for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week or whatever the fuck. Like, I don't really care. But, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's my first time at so-and-so. And they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and see you up with the sandwich that's going to make you come back. I appreciate that.
Yeah, she was great. And I enjoyed it. I didn't know prior to you just saying this. Maybe you mentioned it before on the show that the chicken was like the real draw. I didn't know that from the prepared food.
The fried chicken is the one, bro. It'd be a line and shit. And
damn.
They got, because, you know, with me, man, I try not to do stereotypical fat boy shit all the time. So, like, sometimes I'll try to, like, fight the grain and be like, yeah, you'd expect me to go get some chicken, but I'm not going to get you chicken. I'm walking to the produce section. How about that, America? And then, like, you know, after I went to Publix like 20 times and people kept being like, you know, every time, but like, yeah, we just got a post. They'd be like, oh, man, that chicken. You tried that chicken. I'm like, damn, I guess I got to try it. So
yeah,
they have two versions. They got one that you like take home. It's like a big ass thing of like chicken wings or chicken, like 8-piece chicken or whatever.
Okay.
Which is, you know, it's something that you should eat over the course of like
two or three days. Yeah,
it ain't exactly a like go home and crush this box of chicken, but I don't have impulse control enough to do that. Like if I bring home the 8 pieces of chicken, I'm gonna try to crush at least like half of them joints.
Yeah, my limit as a savage would be like 4. If I go to any place, 4 or 5 pieces, like two legs, 2 thighs. That's what usually what I like.
I love thighs, man. So I don't want to do that. So instead they have like where you can buy the chicken individually off of the bar. Like,
okay,
let me get some chicken and macaroni and cheese, blah, blah, blah. So that's the chicken that they must be talking about. Cause the box chicken is good, but you know, it's been sitting there, you know, taking home, you know, all that. It's not the same as that fresh chicken they dropped, man. But I finally tried the fresh chicken, like I said, last week, and I was like, oh, okay. It was everything y'all said. No, hands down. Y'all the goats.
When I was listening to the show, you guys were talking about going on a tour through Charlotte last weekend, and you said you ran across a gas station chicken spot.
Oh man, yeah, I gotta try that, man. Like I the thing is, we've driven by this gas station 100 times, Chris. Many times, and there's a little sign outside that's like best chicken in Charlotte, and you know, it's like a fucking Texaco, you know. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna need a little bit more word of mouth, you know. But we took the tour. The woman was like, yeah, it really is. And I was like, well, shit, then I'm going to try. She even knew, like, the lady. She's like, go in there, ask for Doris. And I'm like, okay, well, shit, it's going to be, I'm going to make this move. Y'all going to get a good Yelp review from me. So I'm going to do it.
So they're saying they're better than prices then.
Yeah, well, see, okay. Now, see, this is a charlatan thing. Well, black charlatan thing.
Okay.
I think prices is a little overrated.
It was fine. Like, it was good when I had, I was like, oh, it's good.
Yeah. Like, I don't think it's anything that'll knock your socks off.
Mm-hmm.
I think back in the day, it was one of the things is it was close to downtown, but not too close. And it wasn't gentrified all around it and shit yet.
Right.
And it was in the hood.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and Crisis has the same fucking, And they still do a little bit, but it's not as bad. But they have the same like business plan as the crack house. Like it's essentially the trap spot, man. There's nowhere to sit down to eat.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to park. You essentially have to. It's either a 2-man job, maybe with Uber now, maybe not. But back in the day, it was a 2-man job. You get your homie. You say, hey, we're gonna get us some prices, and y'all both go down there. One of you sends the other one in and you order 2 things, like one for you, one for them. And then you wait and then you bring it back. You have to pay in cash, no cards. I think they still do that. And so, you know, it's like in and out, you know?
Yeah,
so
right.
You know, and the other person circles the block until it's time for you to get out. You know, it could take 5 minutes. It could take 25 minutes. Like, you know, and this is before cell phones. You just keep circling the fucking block, hoping you see your homie with your food. So Anyway, I think the experience was more what people were talking about, because like, how good does chicken have to be? Like, the chicken must be good as shit to make somebody do that. And it is good, but it is like, it the legend grew beyond how good the chicken could possibly be. So,
okay, yeah, you know. I enjoyed it because I was not the shout out to the homie Damian Lemon, good buddy of mine. He was telling me to go, and when I did your show, the illustrious first live Black Guy Who Tips show, and
yes, sir.
And I had the Lyft driver. He was like, "Yeah, I just kind of circled around." He said he like circled around or whatever. And yeah,
everybody know you're gonna need that ride back, man. But it's like I said, it is good.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I don't want people to think I'm blaspheming here. It is good, but it's the reputation has gotten too. It's just no chicken can hold up to the way they make prices sound. They make prices sound like you're gonna like slap your mama and shit. And it's really good, but I don't think it's gonna like blow your socks off. But I'm gonna try that gas station chicken.
Yeah,
because my guess is, if they've been having that sign out there, they want the smoke.
That's what it seems like, man. It seems like a lot of these places, now like the mid-Atlantic region, like where I'm from, like most people, when you're way up here in the New York area, they consider that to be the South, but I still just kind of view it, I just view it as a mid-Atlantic region, but we're starting to get Royal Farms, like more like down in that area. It's like two of them within a 2 mile radius. It's like, this is getting out of hand. But their chicken is good, but it's really expensive, you know? And they, I don't know. I, it's just, you gotta order it the right way, so you don't end up spending so much money, you know, but, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying. I've made the announcement that I've given up French fries. And I have. I haven't had French fries in about, I want to say I think I made the announcement in November. And the first test for me was going to Fuddruckers, my favorite burger place. And I think Fuddruckers is good. I love Fuddruckers. It's mainly because of the, like, I think of my dad whenever I go in there, like the connection. We'd go there a lot. And I got a side salad instead of the fries, and that was cool. It was fine. And then I made the stupid, I said, well, it was a week or two ago, I said, I'm giving up McDonald's. And McDonald's is hard, because that's like, that's always, I don't know what to eat, I'll go to McDonald's. And McDonald's,
yeah, for me,
yeah,
McDonald's is easy to give up except for the breakfast food. I can always go for an Egg McMuffin or a McGriddle, dog. Like, I don't do it often, but sometimes, you know how sometimes you get a craving for something very specific?
Yeah.
That's the only thing I ever order from McDonald's, really. Like, it's very rare that I get anything else, but, you know, I will stop and be like, oh, man, an Egg McMuffin. Like, I'm out running errands. I'm old, so I still got the old school, like, before 10:30 clock in my head. So
yeah, yeah.
I think it's just nostalgia. You know, I'm out doing the errand before 10:30. I'm like, ah, fuck, I grab me an Egg McMuffin real quick, and I'll go cop me one, even though they're there all day. And I don't know. I'll do it probably, like, once every month or so.
Yeah.
But I that's the only fucking thing I get from McDonald's still.
Yeah, for me, it's either the double or triple cheeseburger. And now that it's made to, you can do it made to order now. They remodeled a lot of them, and it's like, it's, oh my God, dude. A double cheeseburger.
I used to be like that. The Wendy's spicy chicken is the one that you, like, okay, I can make, like, I will make this move, okay, in a heartbeat. Don't give me an excuse.
Yeah.
But they just, but now that the Popeye chicken sandwich came out, I felt like, my Wendy's got some residual spicy chicken from me, because I would be like, well, I don't want to stand in line for Popeyes, but I do want some spicy chicken. I go to Wendy's.
Yeah.
But now they just opened up a Popeyes literally like 3 minutes up the street from me, man. So
I fucking hate that when you're trying to do right, you know?
Right. Like, oh, man.
Literally on the way home, I looked, this is a McDonald's that I very seldom go to. It's just because of the way it's because of the way the highway is, and it's like I drove past. Like, they closed it down. Like I was like, well, nigga, you ain't supposed to be going there anyway. Like for, that's what I said to myself. I was like, maybe they just remodeling that shit.
What's crazy is because you know that since the chicken sandwich for Popeyes, the line has been like ridiculous, right?
Is it still? Is it still crazy?
Well. I was gonna say it started to die down to like normal levels of Popeyes inefficiency. So, like it's still a 15-20 minute waiting to drive through, even though it should at any other place it's about five. You know, like it's not around a building anymore, but you know it's just never quite as fast as you think it would be or whatever. I swear to God, Chris, and it is killing me, but every time I drive by the new Popeyes, there's not even a fucking line.
Yeah.
There's not even a car in the drive-thru. I drove there today, drove past there today with Karen to go to DMV, and I look over and I'm just like, is there even a line? Like, I didn't even want to look myself. I was like, Karen, is there a line? Like, is it fucking with me? And she's like, no, there's nobody in line. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to keep driving straight. But God damn, that pop. I'm gonna get that Popeyes at some point, but I'm just trying to hold off.
Yeah, I went there Friday. Like, I actually went, last week, I went to Boston Market and got a rotisserie chicken and had, like, I think I already had, like, vegetables at home, so I ate off of that. And then the next day, I had some left over, so I went to Popeyes and just got some of the rice, just to have rice with my, like, chicken and broccoli and stuff. So... what I appreciate about you though, like, I mean, you're always posting stuff that I'm assuming that you made yourself. I mean, so you cook at home a lot more too.
I do, man. I've been trying to make some good positive changes and do stuff that, you know, create like lifestyle habits, like people say.
Yeah.
So, for a while, like I wasn't able to play basketball during the week because we weren't getting the crowd. But I kind of got that popping again. I started an email list and ended up getting enough people where we can consistently play basketball every day of the week, which is really good exercise. And I try to do that four or 5 days a week. And then on top of that, instead of going out to eat for lunch or breakfast or something like that, I try to cook at least 3 to 5 meals a week. And so, you know, and for me, part of that process is taking that picture, putting it on Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff. You know, even if the picture doesn't turn out that great or, you know, whatever, I'm always like, you know, I did that. That's a thing I did. It's therapeutic. Yeah. It's better for me than what I would have ate. I try to pick like some, you know, healthier, low carb meals and stuff like that. And just try to make some good habits out of it, man. So that's, you know, that's where I've been on lately.
That's what's up, man. That's real good. Like what I like to have like is like the salmon, and I found out about finishing butter. Like I just found out about it like a month or two ago, and you put it like, you know, once it's about to settle and you just put that on, it gives it a great, like, you season it well and all that. And you don't have to, like, I went to, where did I go? When I was in North Carolina. So, like, I went out to eat with my uncle and we both got salmon. And it was like, this is not as good as the one that I make. So,
yeah,
I was like, this is not.
That's a good feeling, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's a bad feeling because you spent money, obviously.
Yeah,
but it's a good feeling where you're like, damn, I'm getting good enough to be like, these motherfuckers can't fuck with me. And like, you know, that's like, sometimes I'll cook something and I'll just be like, yo, I did that. And so much of it is like trial and error.
Yeah.
A lot of it is learning. And a lot of it's creativity too, because now I find myself experimenting more with my recipes. I'm more adventurous. I'll cook something from the meal kit, and then after I do it a couple of times, I'm like, wait, I know how to make risotto. So then later I'll be like, I'm gonna buy some, you know, I'm in Marshall's or some shit. Let me get this black truffle risotto, and I'm gonna, like, you know, hook that up with some parsnips and some carrots and pork chop, and I'm gonna make a fucking meal out of this. And, you know, 6 months ago, if I saw all three of those things in a store somewhere, I'd be like, I don't know anything about anything but maybe these pork chops. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, so. Yeah. I made a prime rib over Christmas, and you know, that was my first time doing it. I looked up something on YouTube and did it, and like my mother was like, she wasn't going to touch it because that was like a $50-$60 piece of meat. And I messaged Michael Felder. I saw he was doing some extravagant thing. And he's great at, you know. And I just said, throw some prayers up or something. I'm making a prime rib. He's like, just do your thing, man. You got it. And the best moment of the whole holiday was like my mother, like my dad tasted it. I just cut off a piece for him. He tasted it. He's like, oh my God. He's like, this is good. And my mother, my harshest critic of all time ever, she's laying in the bed. talking on the phone. And I brought in some for her to taste it. And it's like, and she was like, oh my God, she loved it. So
yeah, that's dope, man. That's,
yeah.
Like I cooked for my parents a couple times last year.
Uh-huh.
I made a seafood chowder.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because my dad's like a pescatarian or whatever, so they don't eat like fish and seafood and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I made like a seafood chowder for them, and they fucking loved it. And then I made some catfish stew for them. And, you know, my dad he's like gardens and stuff, so he had like these peppers and all this stuff in the backyard, these vegetables and stuff, and he'll just give me some sometimes.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, I'm gonna use this. I'll find a recipe and use some of the peppers in there, use some of the spices and some of the vegetables he gives me, and then I'll like, you know, give him some of the food at the end. And you know, my dad was, you know, he had the chowder, he like ate a bowl real quick. He's like, Roderick, I think this is the best soup I've ever had in my life. I'm like, wow, that's a whole
yeah, man. You never know. Like, you just have to, take that risk and make it, and you have to, yeah, because you get more confidence when you're like, well, I did that. What else can I do? You
right,
know?
And what's wild is that originally that recipe was for conch,
yeah,
and I had made that chowder, and then you can't, man, it's hard to find conch. You gotta like
right.
go to a special seafood store and shit. So I was like, yo, why don't I just make that, but I'll use shrimp. And then you know, I'm like, okay, that turned out okay. I'm
yeah.
like, well, why don't I try it with like scallops or something? And eventually, you know, I kind of settled on like a blend of seafood and stuff, and I like made it. And like I said, my dad loved it, and my Karen loved it, my mom loved it, like. So I was like, all right, cool. I did my thing. And that was all through probably 5 to 6 times making that and experimenting a little bit more each time until I got something that my dad said was the best soup ever.
Yeah. I got to get back into doing more stuff with shrimp because I think my self-esteem took a hit when I just made some for myself and it didn't work out like I thought it would. And I was kind of like, let me stay away from that expensive shit.
It'll get you, man. Like,
yeah.
You just got to not... up, man, because like you just never know. You could be one dish from being like, okay, I got it. Because like
yeah. some,
like where I fuck up now is anytime I have to make like a gravy for something or like a sauce,
mm-hmm.
sometimes I'll make it too dark. And so, you know, in real life, who gives a fuck? It tastes
right.
delicious, that's the end. But you know, with like social media and stuff, you go to post it on Instagram or whatever.
Oh, nigga, that shit.
Like, Right. It's going to look too dark or whatever.
Yeah.
I remember one time I posted a ravioli I made, and and it looked just like it was supposed to in the picture, but it was like a dark, it's like a brown sauce over ravioli. You know, ravioli's not very photogenic, right?
Yeah.
And I took a picture of it. Someone put like some like gross emojis or something over, and I just like laughed to myself and like deleted that comment. But
yeah,
it was like yeah, like there's another, like it was delicious. If that person would have been in my house, they would have like
they
ate
that shit.
But being that it was on Instagram, it was like fuck that ravioli. So
yeah.
So weird.
Yeah, I was gonna post that prime rib that I did, but it was just, I don't think it was a good shot. And it looked like it was weird, as the people would know what the fuck that was. But I saw like David Alan Greer recently, within the last couple of days, posted like a pork shoulder. But it was just like, what what is that? And then he just like wrote on another comment like pork shoulder. I was like, okay, because it looked good. I just didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. Now I want to shift gears a little bit with you. You recently became a new PlayStation 4 owner. After hating on the console for several years now. But I know why. I know why you have, but and you can explain that. How do you like it so far?
I mean, I like it a lot, but I've decided to approach it as a newbie because I haven't experienced the greatness of all the PlayStation classic games.
Mm-hmm.
So I've only played so far The Last of Us. I've been playing that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had to pause it a little bit because Kara started playing Little Big Planet.
You know what, dude? So, can we put a pin in that? Because, dude, I was logged on to PlayStation. I was playing something, and we're friends on PlayStation. And I was like, "What's Rod playing?" It's like Little Big Planet. I said, "That must be Karen."
Yeah,
I was like, "You got like because I think you had don't you have like Spider-Man, Horizon Zero Dawn,
and, Horizon Zero Dawn, what's the one with Drake's Fortune, Uncharted?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I GTA 5. Like, I got all these like go kill 'em games and." Karen hops on the first thing. She's like, I heard that Little Big Planet was good. And she hopped on. I think I have PlayStation Now where you can like download or stream certain games. And that's one of them, Little Big. And so she's just been like, she took to that like a fish to water. And
that's
great. You know, I come in, she's on that. I got to go to the other room and watch football, basketball, something.
Yeah, that's great. But you like
it's
it
funny,
so far.
People always like, you know, they always have that archetype of like your girl hates men that play games. You know, uh-huh. They hate that shit. And then women will be like, "No, get you a girlfriend that's a gamer." And then like that's like the best of both worlds. And
yeah,
you know, I'm like, okay, but take it one step further. Now I'm in my house with another motherfucker that want to play the games all the time. Like, you're saying,
right,
like,
right.
Like, I don't want them to be mad at me necessarily, but, you know, you walk in, it's like, oh, damn, so you playing, okay, cool. And, you know, I am glad that she loves video games and stuff like that, and it's healthy. So, you know, I'll come in the house some days and she's on it before me. I'm just like, all right, cool. I'll go take a shower and hop in the other room and either play the Xbox in there or watch TV.
Yeah, I think... the more that I've gotten into YouTube, just like watching content on YouTube, it's like all these people that are in men that I guess maybe we can even just break it down to the cis het men who are in these what do you call it, like these like subdivisions, these classes of I like movies. I'm a psycho about movies. I'm a psycho about action figures or video games. All these this culture that like I've kind of been made more aware of in the last 5 years or so. All those dudes are nerds and they have girlfriends, or they have my girlfriend. Or sometimes the girlfriend will be doing the video with them, or their wife, or whatever. Like, it's somebody for everybody. I just haven't found that person yet. And most of it is me just not, is me being too, I have issues. So it's just basically, you can find somebody that likes that stuff. You know,
it's weird to me how much like pressure there is out there dating and stuff, because it seems like, and I don't know if it's just a social media thing, because, you know, it's
I think part of it is.
Yeah, you know, that's like kind of the most extreme examples of everything. But it does seem like people just are so fucking preoccupied with like how bad of a match people are going to be. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm like, you know, like some of this shit is going to work. Some of it's not. And you don't need the exact same interest. You don't need the same disinterest. Like, you just kind of want to go out there and like, if you have some level of understanding and empathy for other people, it doesn't seem like any of this shit would be such a deal breaker. But maybe I think people just present the most extreme versions of shit. So it's like, So the stereotype of the woman with her arms folded and the guy's playing like NBA 2K and she like fucking hates the guy. You know, I'm like, maybe that's some people's relationship, but I like to think that, you know, a lot of women would be like, nah, he plays video games. What's the fucking wrong with it? It's not some weird thing like it was in like the 80s. Like, it's a grown man playing a video game now is not weird, because that fucking dude played video games when he was like a little kid, and it's been around our whole lives. And you know, so hopefully people are breaking out of that shit.
Yeah, and he's at home. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that
I'm sure there's plenty of women. Like, I'd rather his nerdy ass be sitting on my couch than some cool nigga that I don't know where he's at right now. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Where is he?
Had to do that math with us. You know, it's not like, no offense to anyone in any relationship, but, you know, I'm sure a lot of us aren't necessarily the first choice for a lot of people. I'm sure that, you know, there's just like men and women, there's people that went through that headache and they're like, yeah, you know what? Dated someone that was like, you know, the way I thought it would be, and it's actually a headache. I prefer a motherfucker that, you know, I got to walk to the other room because they playing some Big Planet, Little Big Planet.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, like one of the better dates that I, the first dates that I went on, I told, we were having a great time, and I told her, I had to tell her, I was like, I play video games, and I told her about The Last of Us, and she saw me a few more times. It, you know, it didn't work out, but not because of that. You know,
right? Exactly. It's kind of end of the world. To me, it says more about the people. Like, I would now be more surprised and happy, actually, if someone got mad or weirded out by the fact I play a video game or watch a, you know, a nerd movie. I'd be like, oh, good riddance. You can get the fuck on. Like,
yeah, yeah. It's not that serious.
You're the weirdo.
And it's
people. Not just that it's not that serious. We have now made it so far in the nerd culture in 2020. The person that rejects it is now the weirdo, right? Like, look at the top grossing movies of the year. What were they? Video games make more money than fucking movies and TV shit now.
Like, yeah.
Like, you're the whole ass weirdo, like, wanting me to just be like, I don't know, shopping for slacks and cutting grass every weekend. Like, nah, like, I, you know, maybe I don't watch the college football game, but I play some Borderlands 3. I don't think that makes me like some horrible person.
It's such a big industry now, and like even more than it's ever been. And it's just, there's just like, I like my excitement for The Last of Us 2 is just, I can't wait, and I got to figure out
So The Last of Us 2 is not out yet.
No.
But when I bought The Last of Us, I also bought something else that was like The Last of Us something. What is that, like a prequel or something?
Oh, so Left Behind. So it's
yeah.
So once you it's a prequel to how Ellie was before she met Joel.
Okay.
And it's about 2.5-3 hours of gameplay, and it's a little flashback.
That game is fucking intense, man.
It is, man. And you know, it's funny because I was at this holiday party for like a lot of comedy clubs. They have like holiday parties after Christmas and New Year's. So I was at a party on Monday, and one of the general managers of this club. That essentially is still my home club. I call it my home club, but he was telling me, he's like, yeah, Chris, you know, I played The Last of Us and it's all right. And I was like, what? You know, but I couldn't like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? What the fuck are you talking? But I could have gave him shit, but I was like, he was like, yeah, well, you know, the gameplay is not. I was like, well, the game is 7 years old and it's going to be a lot different from what they could do now. Like, if you saw like the gameplay trailers, like when I did your show, when I was down there in Charlotte and I showed the tech guy the trailer, like the latest trailer that they had at the time, he was like, oh shit, this is crazy. You know, like I'm super excited about that. And you know, sometimes you kind of buy all this stuff and you kind of forget what you already have, you know. Like, I started playing Horizon Zero Dawn again, like, about a week ago, and I forgot how great that game is. I loved that game, but I didn't start the DLC. The DLC is called The Frozen Wilds, and I think you should probably have that too with your game already. And I was playing that. I was like, oh my God, this game's fucking beautiful. It's incredible, you know? So I was enjoying that. Like, I kind of have to keep my skills up so when May comes around that I'm not like an invalid trying to play this new game, you know? I kind of got to keep my skills up, but, you know.
Yeah, I do that all the time, man. I actually like revisiting older games. Sometimes I buy new games, and it's almost a waste of money because I actually like to go and play the games I already own.
Yeah.
I'll play them once or twice a year sometimes. I beat Tomb Raider pretty much every year. I'll play them all over again. I beat the Batman Arkham City games. I'll play one or two of those every year and beat it. So sometimes I buy new games and get all excited. I don't even play the shit for months and months. I just remember the good time I had playing these other games. I love those stories.
Right. Now, did you get into Spider-Man yet?
Not yet, man. I heard nothing but great things.
Yeah.
But like I said, I kind of want to play some of these PlayStation classics and get caught up and then hop into the new shit.
Well, I mean, Spider-Man is, even though it's only been out, it's been out over a year, probably a year and a half, almost 2 years this year.
Yeah,
but
I heard it's 5 out of 5, 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
One of the greatest games of all time.
It's
hands down.
Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible. I remember when it came out and you were trying to hate on it.
Yeah, I was trying to. I was like, well, maybe somebody buy it on my wish list. We'll see. Well, I was trying to reverse psychology,
sure.
But Karen bought it, so.
Yeah.
You know.
It's,
now she's playing a little Big Planet on it, so I guess, like, in a way, she got it for herself, too.
Yeah, it's fun, man. I kind of forget, like, it's funny how, like, because everybody, you have to have something to relax you and stuff. And, like, it's funny because a lot of my comedian friends will say, like, you know, oh, yeah, I used to play video games, but I get too addicted. I'd probably miss a spot. I was like, well, I'm not going to miss a spot. I mean, I love video games, but I'm not gonna miss any stage time for this shit, you know?
I ain't gonna miss no motherfucking no money.
Like it's cocaine or something. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's not drugs. Yeah. It's like, it, you know, I love
you
it.
You know, the other thing for me, Chris, is that it seems like the older I get, the more, like, I run to this stuff for relaxation.
Yeah.
To turn my brain off. It's like a really happy zen place for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 41 and I'm still able to turn my brain off enough to be like, yo, I enjoyed this thing.
Yeah.
Or okay, it's a little bit silly, but that's okay. It's, you know, like no matter how much money they put into this shit, it's still ultimately, you know, some comic book, you know, nerd fantasy shit. And we have to, you know, to me, I'm okay with that, you know? And I think that's why, I find myself enjoying a lot of stuff, but now I feel like I don't like talking to too many people about it because it seems like so many people just kind of hate almost everything.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to like have a conversation that doesn't turn into you having to like defend this thing or listen to someone bitch about something you like, you know, like, so a lot of times I just don't really talk to people about, you know, the games and the movies and the TV shows and stuff that I like because, you know, they want to get into these weird, like, arguments or whatever. And my theory is I think a lot of people are funneling their bitterness into these fucking escapes. And I'm like, that's the entire opposite of what the fuck the escape is supposed to be. It's supposed to be like, here's an area where we don't think about, you know, trying to turn the world into how bad Trump is or, you know, like let's take the racism of the world and like throw it into Star Wars. Like, no, let's like enjoy this shit and keep that stuff out of it if we can, and go to this place to have fun and treat it that way. But I don't know. I think I'm one of the last of a dying breed that way.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think it's because you have such a big social media presence that all of that gets lumped into you? Because it seems like, you know, I've found, like, I consider you to be in my circle of friends who, oh, I can talk to Rod about this, or I can talk to Randolph, I can talk to Andy. people in my circle I can reach out to and say, what did you think about this? And we can have a discourse on it, whether it be on a podcast, whether it be, you know, us talking offline. Do you find that you get more, you get that with your friends, and then you just kind of, you're just open to more of that because of your social media presence, because it's so large?
No, I think it's the kind of person I am. Like,
okay.
Not even the kind of person I am. Let me put it this way. I think this is just the result of society. I think this is how people are now.
Yeah.
Like, what everyone always forgets is, like, Star Wars has been around for what,
40 plus years, yeah.
Right. And ultimately, when we were younger, it was a much happier fan base.
Right.
Right? Like, they liked it. They really liked that stuff. And when you watch that stuff again as an adult, you watch those old movies, they have tons of things that people wouldn't accept now from those movies. But they're kind of grandfathered in because they happened a long time ago. And so, to me, I'm like, well, if we do these movies again, we do new versions of these movies, I'm going to keep the same, like, level of enthusiasm I had about the original ones, because to me, it's like, that's what made it fun. It was my right. attitude going in. I was a kid. It reminds me of being a kid. I didn't really care that there's no noise in space.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Like, I wasn't going around like, why can we hear it destroying? It's not going to blow up. You know, I was just like, no, it's fucking Star Wars, you know, like swords and shit. And so I remember having so much fun because I allowed some suspension of disbelief. And so now I think societally we have changed to where we consume these things, analyze these things, and critique these things on such a high, intense level that it wasn't me that changed. And it's not because I have a lot of people on my social media. It's really we as a society have changed. Even in real life, you know, I go to a basketball court, and the people that want to talk about, like, Star Wars or Avengers or something, a lot of times, you know, while they would, you know, they might be like, yeah, it was good or whatever, they immediately kind of go into, like, the kind of critiques of it, because I think that's another level of culturalization that we're dealing with now, and it's kind of, it bums me out, so I just don't like talking about it.
Damn, man. That's kind of sad, though, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
It is sad.
Because I think, like, I feel like, you know, like, my listeners know that I love The Last of Us, and then, yeah, I scour YouTube with theories and stuff, and I'm so, like, obsessed that, like, I could be listening to somebody's try to just some dumb run-of-the-mill theory. I'm like, no, this isn't, that's not it. That's
right.
not it. And I'm just, and I cut them off immediately. But then, like, you get into this community, and, like, I found this kid, this guy named Tajay Moment, who I've had on the show. And he's a young kid, 20 years younger than me, and he loves The Last of Us. I liked his content. I reached out to him, and we had a 2.5-hour conversation about the game and the theories. And it's like, because I listened to your latest episode, your last episode, and you were talking about, like, how Twitter and what is it stuff. You know, like, there is a lot of negativity on social media, but it brought me to you. Bomani,
yeah,
a lot of people, like, it's a lot of great stuff.
What I was gonna say is I find that my individual relationships and conversations that occur, you know, with people in my circle,
yeah,
that's different than the general zeitgeist.
The general,
like,
yeah,
I think the general public may, I would say, because of Trump, but it's really, I just think we're getting older. People aren't happy in life anymore, and then there's, like, this incentive to deconstruct everything to the most, like, hottest take. And I don't know. I think it's not healthy. I think already, like, nerds and shit were already kind of a toxic ass, like, just growing up one.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily healthy. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I can get how, like, maybe this is just the ultimate example of everyone becoming these, you know, nerd culture became too big, and now everyone's a fucking, like, mean ass nerd. But I don't know. I think in general, it just kind of changed over the course of my lifetime to where, like, I find myself excited about things that I know everyone's going to be, like, excited for and then immediately turn on. Right. The Game of Thrones takes a 2-year break. Everyone wants it to come back. But I remember the season before the last one, people were kind of hating on that season. It takes 2 years off and everyone's like, it needs to come back. I want a Game of Thrones. And it's like, okay, so it comes back. And then immediately, fuck this show. I didn't like the last season. I don't like this shit. And it's like, damn, like, what have we become? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was supposed to be like a show about dragons and fucking flaming swords. And we've turned it into like, you know, how dare this show wrap itself up? You know what I mean? Like, it just, I don't know. I think we've just become something fucked up, man.
It's
like,
not going to give you that hug that you want from your mom or dad.
Yes,
it can't, it's a TV
exactly.
show.
Every fucking Star Wars movie is the worst Star Wars until the next one comes out, and then the last one was good, but the one that's out now is terrible. Like, I've watched that cycle happen like 4 times in the last like 5 years. Like,
yeah,
I don't know, man. Something in us has just gotten so ugly and calcified.
Yeah.
It's just in so many people. I'm trying to fight against that so I can keep a happy life. You know?
Oh, I fight against it all the time. Like, now I can. Because it's like, it's almost like, because Twitter is real and then it isn't. And then, because sometimes when you think about, when I went to see Star Wars, it was opening night. It was the Thursday night, 7 o'clock show. There were people our age and maybe a few younger people, but for the most part, it was adults our age. Some people were dressed up as Obi-Wan Kenobi. Go in there, it's in Dolby. And it's just like, we watched the movie, and then at the end, people clapped for the most part. Everybody seemed to have a good time. And I was like, I like that. You know? I was like, all right. And then you turn on your computer. What the fuck is this shit? Ah!
And it's almost predictable now. Like, Harriet was like that in
yeah,
my theater.
Right.
People literally clap for that movie, literally, like,
mm-hmm.
not exaggerating.
Yeah,
motherfuckers clap, like, clap. I didn't clap, Chris.
I didn't.
The movie, people clapped. I looked around, like, oh, okay. But y'all like that a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And it wasn't. I'm not hating. It wasn't that I like hated the movie or some shit. I just literally thought to myself, like, oh, that was pretty good. And then people were like, yeah, mm-hmm. And I was like, wow. And literally logged online, and it was like, we have to destroy this movie. And it's such a weird juxtaposition between that and real life.
Yeah.
And it's hard not to get caught up in it a lot of times. So
it's
sometimes
true,
I may err on the side of fighting against it a little too much, but I'd rather be on that side and, you know, I'd rather be on the side of like, nah, let me try to enjoy this thing and give it a chance before, you know, lining up with all these people to like, you know, circle jerk to hating some shit.
Yeah, dude. Like, I talked to my boss about it. Like, she's like, yeah, me and my husband went to see it, and you know, we took our son, and you know, we liked it. It was fine. And now, granted, like Randolph and Jimmy Merritt just dropped a Woke Files where they broke it down, mm-hmm. and those guys seriously are into Star Wars, and I really appreciated their nuanced opinion about it, and I could see where they were coming from. I heard Eric Griffin on his podcast talked about it. Our homies, the Firestarter crew, mm-hmm. all three of those podcasts, salient fucking points. And I liked what they had to say about it. And I liked the comedy that came from it.
Did they like it or not like it?
It seemed like Randolph and Jimmy were like, they were disappointed. They were disappointed. And you listen to Firestarter, right?
Yeah.
They had some points about like Darth Vader. I was like, oh yeah, they could have did some shit, maybe. You know,
yeah.
I was like, oh
only
yeah.
The only thing with that Darth Vader point when I listened to it, and maybe I just didn't understand, but Darth Vader was redeemed.
Right.
So what was the fucking point of bringing him back? You know what I mean?
I guess because they brought him. Yeah. Didn't they bring him back in Fall? Oh, I don't want to spoil that game. I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, I watched that game, but they didn't bring him back. That's like a prequel. That's not. That didn't happen during this.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, it didn't make sense. Like, I fuck with Firestarter, but that argument just, it didn't make sense to bring him back because this nigga got ghosted to the heaven with the Jedi at the end. So, you know,
yeah.
like channeling his spirit on some Palpatine shit, that wouldn't. made no fucking sense. See, well, so Darth Vader just turned evil again? Like, why?
Well, you know what I didn't like. So. So, I mean, you know, it was fine. My only bummer was that I was going to go see it at the Alamo Draft House, and I had pre-ordered some of those fucking collector's glasses, and I couldn't go because I had to go out of town. But, like, other than that, I was like, oh, you know.
See, the thing is for me, too, is I don't mind the people being, like, really critical.
Yeah.
I just want them to keep the same energy. And that's the thing that gets me is, like, I have no idea how you can hate these new films and love the old ones. Because they had some bullshit in them, too.
Yeah. And it's for a kid.
We're talking about.
Go ahead.
We're talking about, like, love interest and a fucking, like, brother kisses his sister, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
People go in about, like, you know, feminism and empowerment and shit. And Princess Leia wore fucking, like, bikini in this, like, episode five or whatever. It's like, dog, like, let's keep that same energy or everyone calm the fuck down a little bit and be like, it was always kind of like goofy and some of it was good and some of it was bad.
Right.
And we always kind of had this cult status for it. Like, okay, it's weird. It's good. It's bad. We, you know, and it's okay to love it even though it's flawed. And now I think you got a bunch of fucking old ass bitter nerds trying to like funnel like the fact that, you know, their job isn't making them happy into like, why didn't, you know, Poe kiss Finn or some shit. You know what I mean? Like, like, why are we like, we have turned this shit into something it never was. Like, it never was this shit. And now we've turned it into like, you know, this is, it's the fucking worst now. Like, and you know, my favorite thing now, cause I play ball and I'll like occasionally be around like younger people and shit. Those motherfuckers love it. They don't care.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's what I'm trying to, that's the whole reason of me seeing this shit. That's what I'm actually trying to preserve. I'm not trying to, the 50-year-old who loves Star Wars. I want to be like the 10-year-old who still loves Star Wars when I go in that theater.
Well, that's the thing. Like before that, the Firestarter episode that came out before the movie came out, like they were like, yeah, I just want to see pium, pium, pium. I want to see some lightsabers. I want to see some ships. And that's kind of where what I felt like. I was like, you know, I want Rey to come to figure out what her deal is. And basically everything else would kind of just be icing on the cake. I love the action on this one, you know. But this is what I want to ask you. There's a couple ways we can go with this. So I feel like this whole thing is, the whole franchise is for kids. I really agreed with a lot of what Freddie Prinze Jr. said on that clip that he did when he was doing somebody's podcast. I'm sure you saw it. Maybe a couple months ago, probably like October or November or something, where he just went on this rant about, it's for fucking kids, get over it, you know. And what did you think? What I liked was I like John Boyega kind of trolling everybody. Did you get wind of that?
What did he say?
He was just saying, like, you know, he got people mad. I'm trying to, now I got to look it up because I thought you'd already seen the shit.
My bad.
No, it's all right. It's all right. But he was just going, back at the haters and you know, just really, okay, let's see. Rise of Star, John Boyega causes fans to attack each other. To attack each other on social media. Let's see. Oh, fuck. Well, he did an Instagram. Okay, so somebody got mad. So let's see. The controversy on social media began for Boyega when the star responded to a fan on Instagram who suggested the door was now open for Finn with the death of Ben Solo, Adam Driver, in the Rise of Skywalker. And then John Boyega wrote, it's not about who she kisses, but who eventually lays the pipe. Boyega commented. He's like, you are a genius. People got mad about that shit.
Yeah, man. He's a troll.
That was just one of them. Like, he.
But you want to know what's crazy, though? Like, like, you know, listen to my boys, Firestarter, you know, that's our homies.
Love them, those guys,
like,
yeah.
They, like, K-Vad really seemed like, that was a big part of why they was watching, was like, who is he gonna fuck? And I was thinking to myself, dog, there's no fucking in Star Wars.
Right.
Like, they act like there's gonna be, like, a 45-second love scene in one of these scenes, and it's just like, you might get a kiss. Like, we might get a romantic, passionate, no-tongues kiss.
Yeah.
At best in one of these movies. We are grown.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
But it's just because maybe you're too so evolved, Rod, that you don't put yourself in Finn's shoes where, oh, I get to kiss Rey, maybe this Asian, what's the Asian girl's name?
Shit. But hold up, though.
Rose.
He was a year ago, people was mad about him being... getting kissed by Rose.
I wasn't.
It was like, come on now. A lot of people was on some like.
Oh, I know they were mad. I wasn't mad.
Right. I'm not saying it's not a personal attack. I'm just saying like the whole enterprise of it is that's not really a huge part of the world. Like,
right. It's
Luke
not.
His fucking sister.
Yeah.
No one talks about it. No one's like, does this mean incest is okay in the Star Wars? None of us. We're all like, that was weird.
Yeah.
Glad, you know, like, move the fuck on. You know what I mean? It wasn't something like kiss on the cheek. No one gives a fuck. It's so weird that we give a fuck now, 30 years later. That is weird on us. That's not Star Wars' fault. That's not Disney's fault. That's just us being fucking weirdos, man. We put way too much into this shit. And yeah, and this, and to me, when I hear that's a legit reason... Mm-hmm. A nigga hates this movie, I'm always like, what happened to us? Are we supposed to be jacking off the Star Wars? This is crazy.
I mean, Daisy Ridley is very pretty, so
she's all right. Like, they don't even sex her up in these movies to be on, like, oh my god, gotta fuck Ray. Like,
and that was my problem, Rod. That was my problem with the movie, bro.
Not enough cleavage. Right.
Oh my God, where's her Tatooine Jabba the Hutt scene?
Man, my God.
No, you know what? It's just, I think for me now, I'll honestly admit that you see a black stormtrooper, you see this guy. Because J.J. Abrams, you know, gave us the swerve. We thought that this nigga. I mean, we thought he was gonna have a force. They say, you know, when he was like, Ray, I got to talk to you.
Yeah.
That wasn't J.J. Abrams, I think, said it was like it wasn't going to be about him being in love with her. It's going to be like saying he kind of possessed some of the force, too.
He was going to say he believes in the force now and he can sense it. He's force sensitive.
Right. Okay.
Which they did show throughout the movie a few times. Where he could just like tell something was gonna happen,
okay.
And Poe would be like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" You know,
yeah.
It was in there, you know. But yeah, they never had the conversation, which led to everybody just thinking he was gonna be like, "Ray, I'm about to fuck you," you know. And so that would have made the movie better for every black man, I guess.
Yeah, but it probably would have
ruined the entire fucking point of Star Wars for everyone else watching. But okay.
But I want to jerk off.
Right. God, man, just don't y'all see the like things on the side of porn sites that show like Meg having sex with Peter or something? Like, why don't y'all just like I'm sure there's Star Wars versions of that
fanfic
just,
and all that shit.
Why don't y'all just go to X-Porn, U-Porn, or whatever the fuck, and look on the side panels for some Star Wars fucking fanfiction? Because it's gotten out of control, man. With this, it's getting crazy, man. We're losing the plot, man. So many of us. So
yeah,
but yes. Yeah, you know, as nerddom is my happy place, man. It's just such a weird thing to not be able to really talk to people about it much, or have to talk to them, you know, in these small like these personal conversations. Because if not, someone's gonna lose their shit,
dude. Because it's kind of fascinating to me, it's fascinating, eye opening. It's a lot of different things. Like when I think about the community that we build online with the network of friends that we both share, I feel like we are not the norm. We're not. I'm going to say we're not, because especially when it comes to these movies, you know, you guys are film critics. I'm an actor, a movie nerd, and all this stuff. a lot of the shit that we like, it doesn't cause a ripple, dude. When I think about these movies, I think about like my favorite movies compared to what these people with that are to what general America likes. It's like it just doesn't jive. And when I look
I look at it a little bit different, man. It's not that our likes don't necessarily match up. I think, you know, a lot of times if you like some indie shit, you know, chances are it's going to be, you know, just the people in the indie circuit that really will even see it to like it, right?
Right.
But what I'm noticing is the shit that people hate, I don't line up with that at all. Like, I'm just like, y'all hate that? Like, wait, what is happening? I thought that was just okay, or I thought it was good, but hate, you know, like I saw so many movies this year, and I think I only saw one movie that I like was like, fuck this movie.
What was that?
The whole year. And I know I saw way more movies than most people.
Which one was that for you?
The one I didn't like was A Hidden Life.
Okay, I didn't
see that. It was too long. It was three. It's like 3 hours. It's just too fucking long. You could have told that same story in a much shorter period of time.
Is that the Terrence Malick one?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. No political reason not to like it. No woke shit to tell you about why, you know, I don't like talking about Germans that they weren't with the war. Why we always humanize? It's not even deep.
Yeah.
The shit's just too long. Too long. And so that's the only movie I watched this year. I was really like, fuck this movie. You know, I even had movies that I thought, like, damn, I don't really like this premise of this movie, but I can't lie, it's not badly done. What was that one? Bombshell?
Oh, well, see, that's like that's like worse than trying to humanize Nazis.
Right, right. It's like, I didn't really like the idea of, it was a movie made for no audience, basically. Mm-hmm. But the point being, like, even when with that movie, I was kind of like, well, there were some good things in there, you know, just not a movie I would, you know, recommend or, you know, necessarily nominate for any awards or anything. So
yeah,
I think what it is the hate doesn't line up, not the likes, because, you know, I like a lot of the same shit, even with these people saying they hate stuff, you know, like. I still end up like I liked Star Wars, so that doesn't line up with the fact that so many people seem to hate it online. Or, you know, I liked Green Book, and everybody hated that.
It was a good movie.
Joker. I like Joker. People that's the new movie to fucking say is terrible, and you don't understand how anyone could like it. It's such a weird time right now.
It was like even people I thought, even one of my homegirls, who I thought wouldn't like it, she's like, "Oh, I loved it." And then, like, she was like, "Yeah, I thought it was great." And I was like, "Oh shit!" I didn't comment or anything. Like, I just saw a thread where some people were like, "Yeah, didn't you fucking hate it?" And she's like, "No, I actually really liked it." You know. And we talked about it when it first came out. We reviewed it. I reviewed it on your show. It was just like Todd Phillips is fucking his movie up because he's talking too much, or he's saying the wrong shit.
Right. I hated that way he promoted it. I agree with everybody that said he was fucked up for the stuff he said.
Yeah.
But then it becomes that agenda, man, where it's like, I don't like this person, and now I got to start lying to everybody, you know? And it's people can't help themselves. The temptation is too strong, you know? It's Chick-fil-A homophobic, so now Chick-fil-A's food is nasty. It's like, okay, well, now you just lied. Like, you could have just kept it at principles, I don't fuck with Chick-fil-A. Now you had to go and lie to my taste buds, and I, unfortunately for you, I've tasted Chick-fil-A before, so I know you're a liar. You know what I mean?
Like,
but I think that's what people do now because the communities built on dislike are too strong, and like you have to get down or lay down, and it's like we all have to, you know, say the same shit instead of being like, well, the truth is, you know, somewhere in the middle on this shit, or sometimes the truth is directly on the opposite. Like, I don't like this thing, but yes, it's really good. I still don't like it.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's sort of like you think about, like, I kid JL about it, where he, right before the noms came out, he was like, Lupita should get nominated for Us. And it's the whole, and he talked about it on his show and how she got snubbed. And I was like, you know, part of me feels like, okay, so she basically did two roles. She did, no, she didn't basically. She did two roles. Regardless of what you think about that movie, I thought that was a terrific performance. She should have got nominated. But at the same time, Hollywood does not appreciate horror movies. They don't appreciate comedy. But then I think either JL or I think I'm going to attribute it to either him or the fucking, oh my God, Chris, what is wrong with you? Keep It podcast, how they were saying how, like, I'm losing my mind. Why am I so dumb? You're going to nominate two people for playing the same part. Like, you get, you know, Heath Ledger wins for playing a Joker. You nominate Joaquin Phoenix, who seems like he's the front runner right now of winning this part, but you don't, but you get a great, so you get, you can even go back from like Toni Collette in Hereditary, who weird ass movie anchored by a great performance from her. You get Florence Pugh, who got nominated for Little Women, who turns in Midsommar is a weird fucking movie, but she's fucking great. But it's like that they don't get respect. And it's like, it's because of that genre is considered to not be, it doesn't have the respect that the other genres have.
Well, it's also that people treat the Oscars like the be all end all to like they act like it's the NBA championship or something. Like,
it is
that one. So there's no more of a discussion. And it's not like the NBA championship, because you have to actually like play a motherfucker and there's a set of rules. So it's a subjective championship. And so, you know, people of a, no offense to these folks, but people of a lesser mind, as I will call them, tend to just accept the status quo and then work backwards from there. And my point is like, well, the status quo is fucked up. So I don't have to respect this thing. Now, that's not to say that I think that, you know, like, no one should want to get an Oscar. I'm not one of those, like, those people that fucking, you fucking start your own awards. I'm not one of those people. I totally get why people are invested in it. But there's a level of, like, okay, but this isn't really a full picture of the way everyone would feel or the way that I would feel. Or, you know, it's still these white people's awards for the most part. And that's okay. I'm just not a big fan of them like that. But I think it's weird when people are like so accepting of the fact that it's fucked up to the point of like turning on everyone else. Like, I'm like, nah, it's fucked up. I recognize that. I think Lupita, I would have thought, you know, I actually voted for her to win Actress of the Year, and she won it in our North Carolina Film Critics Association.
Okay.
So I guess enough people agree with us, or because it's like a weighted ballot, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess enough people put her near the top that she won for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's not even nominated on the Oscars, and no, I'm not surprised. You know,
I'm not either. And no.
Right. And yeah, I do think it is kind of fucked up. But, you know, I knew what was up going in, and I knew that was a possibility. And I think to me, you can make the same argument for pretty much every category of the film. There's films out there that didn't get the credit I think they deserve. And there's also just film experiences that were special to me that I don't expect a body of people voting on it to resonate with me.
Yeah, dude. Like, that's the thing. Like, it doesn't, just because Lupita didn't get nominated, it's like, I think you asked me a couple years ago, like, Chris, would you do a slave movie? I was like, of course I would. You know? Like, I would do it. I want to.
You know what I keep thinking about, Chris?
What?
Cause you know, they do this thing like every year they have like an actor who's been in the game for a long time and then they do like a tribute or something, like an award at the award show. They like honor that person's work. Right.
Yeah.
And we always think about like the Oscar winning award, the Oscar winning role. But then when they like celebrate a guy, some of them never even won an Oscar for anything. They'll just like celebrate somebody and then they'll show that clip.
Yeah.
And they show that clip of every like character, every memorable line, that the outfits they dressed in, the way they became certain characters and stuff. And I keep thinking, like, isn't that what it's about, though? Because, like,
yeah,
sure, Lupita didn't get the nod for Us. I think she deserved it. But let's say 20 years from now, when they honor Lupita, if she, you know, continues to have the career she's having, that's going to be a fucking moment on that.
Yeah.
Like, we're all going to be like, oh, my God, remember when she killed that? Like,
right.
And I think that's kind of what you have to do it for, because, you know, the Oscars is such a fucking crapshoot, and it's just... Acting is not the NBA, man. Like, there's just no, you know, there. Someone may have given the best performance in a movie this year, and none of us may have seen it. I don't know.
And it's political. It's like all the, like I heard people saying, like, yeah, Neon produced Parasite, but there's not enough money to get these actors nominated. We could get the director, we could get the best picture. It's just not enough money. Like, that studio didn't have enough money to like push it like that.
Yeah.
So it's like it's like it doesn't negate that performance that she had, and like she, like, I know I can, I got it on Blu-ray. Anytime I want to see it, I could pop it on and be like, yo, she fucking killed it, you know? Like, and it's just sort of like, you kind of like, I always have the thing where I root for these people and I root for them to win and all that stuff. Like, I'll have my picks, but I'm not going to be like why I might be watching, I'll probably be watching Twitter and maybe like to see their speeches and shit, but I'm not pressed like that. Like, I'll make my picks like I always do, but
what's wild is that I root for people as well.
Yeah.
But I think it's taken on a new level with the rooting against.
Oh, like, definitely.
It went from like, I hope my person wins to like, not only do I hope my person wins, but let me give you the political reason why no one else should be allowed to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's ruined everything. I think the movement for Oscar So White was such a dope move, and it still is much needed. But it moved the goalposts somewhere in the middle. People went from Oscar So White to like, only black shit should win. You know,
yeah. That's not right.
I do remember. Yeah, I remember when man, what's my man? Is it Caron? The one that had the movie that won last year. It was on Netflix about the Mexican maid lady.
Fuck, was, dude. Holy like, shit.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know. Though? What the fuck is wrong with me?
That movie was off the fuck. Yeah, it was off the fucking chain. You know, it's a little long, and that, I think it meanders in the middle a bit, but like, you know, he won.
Yeah.
That's like a big moment. And I still remember people being like, man, fuck that. Get Out ain't win, or... You know, like, Spike Lee ain't winning for fucking Black Klansman. It's that bullshit. I'm like, dog, this is a huge milestone we're witnessing. This is
right.
This has never happened before. And it just, a lot of people just can't move past themselves.
Yeah, it's hard, dude. It's hard for people to really just, it's Roma. Roma is the movie. Damn.
Roma, yeah, that was.
Yeah, it was a good movie. Like, I don't. Yeah, it's like these agendas are fucking people up, and it's like you complain about black people, you complain about women. Nobody said, and I'm biased because this woman put me in my first feature film, like Mariel Heller, who did, she did Can You Ever Forgive Me? She didn't get love for that, but the screenplay got love. You know, Melissa McCarthy got loved, Richard E. Grant, but like she did this Mr. Rogers movie, and Tom Hanks got nominated. Well, somebody directed the guy. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, she's a woman, you know, but it's
like... They did the same thing to Little Women, too.
Yeah.
I listened to J.L. Covan's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
He brought it back.
Right.
And he was basically trying to be like, well, it's not a snub. Greta Gerwig, you know, the movie was good, but she didn't deserve to be nominated. I'm like, okay, but you're definitely isolating, you know, he's a lawyer. He's isolating the facts to avoid so you got several nominations in every other category. Now it does look glaring that you didn't nominate. And I'm assuming,
right,
you know, JL will probably do the same thing he did with Ava DuVernay, you know, 3 years later.
And then go back, it really was good.
Yeah. Oh, I guess I was tripping. Yeah. I'm just here to tell you ahead of time. Like,
yeah.
I'm here to tell you before you have to do the retraction. You're wrong. Like,
it's a good movie, okay. Dog. Like, she,
right.
Dude, now I said this on the podcast maybe a week or two ago. I said, I got to talk to Rod. your theory about these fucking period pieces, I think it's true. So they don't have to put in black people. But the interesting thing about Little Women, there were black extras in that movie. There was a black dude that had some lines in it. I was like, oh, shit. You know, and it, she did better than my girl, Sofia Coppola. I mean, I know Marlon Wayans is going to be in her next.
I just want to say, for the record, I don't get mad at these movies.
No.
I just think that's what they do now. I think, you know. I think they're green lighting shit that like by its premise can't have niggas in it.
And when
that's how they're getting violent, to be like, well, you can't really be mad at us.
Yeah.
You know, like it would have actually been worse if we just like inserted one of the sisters was black. All of a sudden y'all would have been like, this is some bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not. Like, it doesn't mean the movie's bad, but I do think that's a fucking, like, we can only go back to the moon 20, like, how many fucking times are we going to the moon, bro? It's getting ridiculous. Anyway, I saw Little Women, and I was like, this shit is actually really good, and I didn't want to necessarily like it, and I was like, they did their fucking thing, man. Yep. I had to give them credit. My girl Florence Pugh did get a nom for that, and I thought she deserved it.
She rocked out.
But I think, right, but we're at a point now, dude, and this is what's so crazy about the agendas. People will go, who even wanted this movie? This white shit. Nobody wants to fucking see this shit. Okay, cool. So it makes some money, right?
Yeah.
As well. Great reviews. Doesn't get nominated. Same people. Wow, women directors completely shut out, disrespected. I said, you were just. Ain't shit. Like that's the stuff that weirds me out is when people can't get their agenda straight. Cause, you know, I try to think a little bit ahead of the curve and be like, well shit, this has gotta be one of the front runners.
Yeah.
Or if woman's gonna be nominated, this is definitely one of the fucking front runners. So no, I'm not gonna shit on this movie for being, you know, so too white because at the end of the day, this might be the only chance a woman got to win some shit.
Yeah, and she ain't missed, dog. Greta Gerwig knows how to make a fucking movie. And from a black dude, almost 40 years old, did not want to see this shit. Now, do I like Greta Gerwig? Yes. Did I see her in a coffee shop 45 minutes before I bombed an audition? Yes, I did a couple years ago. I liked it. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
Would I watch pay to see Saoirse Ronan read a phone book? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
She's good, man. Talent is talent. Now, do I think Taylor Russell should have got a nomination from Waves? Yeah, she should have. Did black media people talk about it? Did I hear people tweeting about this? Not really. I don't count you. I don't count both of the Brandons that we know. I don't count any of those people. Nobody else talked about that shit. I don't count the Firestarter crew. I hate to sound elitist. We're different. We don't count.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about that shit. That's what I've learned this year. That's what I've learned. Like, a lot of people in my circle, we do not fucking count. We don't count when it comes to this shit. We just don't count. And it's some shit that you have to say, oh, what'd you think about that movie? Da, 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 da. What'd you think about that performance? Yeah, you know, Tim Hall, People's Critic. We don't count. He's like, yo, what did you think about that movie? After I saw it, I called him up and we talked about it. Nobody else is going to be having that conversation on Twitter for some reason. Why don't these women like this Kelvin Harrison kid?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. He's been in. What, two or three really good movies this past year? I don't know what it is. Why is it this is Taylor Russell is a beautiful young woman. She's like 25, 26. I watched Lost in Space because she's on it.
The time. Yeah, she's amazing in that. And this is the time. And that's what made me realize she was such a good actress.
Yeah.
She's playing so young.
Yes.
And killing the roles. And now is the time where you need that push to become like that actress that, you know, can have a career.
Right.
Because, these are the kind of films and the roles that where if people don't, like, acknowledge you stand out,
mm-hmm.
then when are they going to do it? You know, you might not be able to be 40 and be an actress.
Right.
If you weren't killing it at 25. So it is weird that the agendas don't flow that way.
Yeah. It's so weird, dude, because, like, both of my parents on separate occasions, I'm watching with my dad. I just, oh, let's check out Lost in Space. I heard it was good. This actress I like. My dad was like, oh, that girl's really pretty. My mom walks in an hour later, oh, that black girl's really pretty. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? I don't know, man. Like, this is people that don't know. It's just, it's weird, man. I think she's just as good as Florence, just as good as Saoirse. You know what I'm saying? I'm not taking nothing away from them, but it's like, what the fuck? There's other dudes out there, like, even for the ladies and for the gay guys, Kelvin Harrison is a good looking guy. He's just as good looking as Timothée Chalamet. What the fuck?
Well, you know, the other thing too with, like, Waves, they didn't really play the gay marketing it, and because I think they have a white director. They couldn't really do the, like, black people need to see this black film for blackness, because it's not black, this black, the blackity black. And, like, Queen of Slim marketed itself like that, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, there was a bigger turnout for it, but then at the same time, a bigger backlash to it. So I could see, like, in a way, it probably helped those actors that they didn't have a whole lot of black people see it, because... I don't know that these niggas wouldn't have hated it, man. You know what I mean? I'm just not sure that, you know, and by hated, I don't mean that the movie's bad. I just think that there's such an incentive to be like, I saw the movie and I was, like, traumatized by everything that happened. And, you know, this fits into my intersectional feminist philosophy in this way. And so, you know, it's a real toss up. Like, shit, they could have just been like, oh, white man did this movie, and that would have been enough for a lot of them seeing it to be like, this ain't shit. So I don't ever know what these niggas like. I've reached a sad point where sometimes I'm really happy when I find out nobody's watching what I'm watching. Cause I'm like, oh, cool, I can enjoy it.
Well, you know? I kinda get mad. My part of my nerd protective thing, whatever you want to call it, somebody else can give it a better label. When Parasite started doing well, I was like, you motherfuckers, right.
Right.
When The Last Black Man in San Francisco came on Prime, people started, like, finding out about the movie, like, 2 weeks ago. I was like, fuck you motherfuckers. It's on Prime. Now you're going to go see it. You know,
see, that doesn't bother me as much as if they would have saw it and then be like, I fucking hate this movie.
Well, they're not, like, all JL. Like,
I'm
but...
okay. Yeah, well, not, you know, obviously JL. Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Some of us grew up with certain type of experience. And, I think we maybe gravitate towards flight of what I was going to say, though, is I think that it's interesting to me when people, like, don't see something and then it comes out later and they hate it. That's mm-hmm. that's the weird one to me, where I'm like, see, this is why the fuck I don't want y'all watching my shit.
But
you're right. There is a certain type of annoyance to the, like, they didn't go see it, and then they see it on, like, Netflix, and they're like, this is fucking great. This is exactly what I wanted. Why don't we make more movies like this? Why was this movie so slept on? And you're like,
motherfucker.
Okay.
Fast Color.
Right. Oh my God. Fast Color was a great example of, like, it hit every box people mm-hmm. said they wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
Now look, movie promotion is a weird thing though, right? Cause, like, you can check all the boxes and someone might not like it. I get it, right? But I just upset because when something hits all the boxes these niggas claim they want, and they still don't watch it, I'm always like, man, what the fuck do y'all want?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, black women this, black women that. And he's like, nope, I'm not going to spend any money on that.
You know what the disappointment for me with Waves was? The fact that, like, I don't watch This Is Us. It's not because I have an aversion to it. I just haven't gotten to it yet. But me thinking, like, listening to even, I don't even watch the show. I listened to a couple of you and Bossy, you know, recapping it.
Yeah.
And I guess my assumption is that most of general Americans really love that show. And you get Sterling K. Brown that's in the show, in this movie. Oh, maybe it's going to get more eyes on it because he's in a lead role and he's in a prominent role in this movie. Nope. Nothing.
Yep.
I was like, fuck. Well, Jesus. All right. Not even the people that saw Euphoria really watched it.
Yeah, it's just weird like that, man. People like what they like, man. But I just think there's an incentive to dislike shit now. I just think it is. Even the stuff that, I mean, like, I didn't watch, I now do this thing sometimes where I won't watch shit while everyone else is watching it because I don't want to, the conversation's more fucked up than the thing, you know? I didn't watch Euphoria until like a couple months ago.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to watch it with them niggas, man. You know, I'd rather just watch it my fucking self and decide how I feel. I didn't want to be week to week like, what does this say about the kids and what black mama gonna let somebody speak? See, this is, you can tell a black person ain't right. This, I'm like, you know what? No, y'all do that. Do your thing. I'm going to come up later, check it out myself, and be like, did I like it or not?
Well, what did you think?
I thought it was great. I thought it was really good. I thought our girl Zendaya killed that shit.
She's a fucking star, dude. Like,
yeah, she a beast, man.
Yeah.
She beasted that show. So, yeah, and even, what's the younger girl that's in it? That's the her little sister.
Oh, she's Storm Reed. Yeah, she's
even
great.
Storm Reed did a good job. I've never seen Storm Reed like that before.
Okay,
man.
Dude.
Like,
so let me tell you this: the joint that she did with David Oyelowo. Oh fuck! I'm gonna get the because I was trying to tell this. That was like people shitted on that. So that's a black movie that she did. What the fuck is the name of it? Don't Let Go. It came out, was in theater for like 20.
Oh yeah, I saw that trailer, but yeah. I never heard anything. So I didn't see it.
Not bad. I don't want to be on here and sice it and everybody. What about that shit? It was all right. I'm not saying Oscar. I'm saying I'm looking at these girls. I'm looking at this girl, Storm Reed. What is she, like 16? She's under 20 years old.
Yeah, she's young.
She can fucking act, dude. Like, good.
This is the time. When you need people to be like supporting your projects and pumping it up. So I think that came out in the theaters for like 2 weeks down here or something.
Yeah.
Like literally it was like up and gone. I was like, hey, I'm gonna check up. So, but that same thing happened to Fast Color too. Like, let me also be fair to the people that didn't see Fast Color.
Right.
I don't want to turn this shit into like just shitting on people that didn't see that movie.
Right.
What my point was with Fast Color wasn't you needed to be in the theater and see it. It didn't even come to Charlotte. And Charlotte's got black people in it, okay? it was that it came to streaming on Vudu for like $6 or $7 on Amazon or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Within 2 weeks of the movie supposed wide release, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead and spend $3 and rent. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, let's go ahead and check it out. See, maybe you would have liked it. You never know.
Right.
I literally had forgot about Don't Let Go. But shout out to black movies this year. There were so many of them. There really was no way to keep up with all of them. And that's one of the reasons I really didn't hate any black movies this year.
No, I didn't really either.
I could have watched, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, there was another one coming out every couple of weeks. So, okay, you didn't like Queen of Slim. Cool, Waves coming out, you know. So it was, Last Black Man in San Francisco. There's always something that you could, you know, be looking forward to this year. So I actually enjoyed a lot of the black films.
Yeah, I feel like this past year was too good for me to really be disappointed in the Oscars. Like, it was just like, you know, what did I look at those and was just like, but everybody, a lot of that shit is performative on social media. You know how that is. Like, I can't believe oh my God. But I was just like, I need a drink before. All these black critics that I love to follow and stuff, that are people that I love and really enjoy following on social media. Oh my God, I can't. I don't know what to do without a certain movie that I like getting nominated. But it was, it's like, yo, like this is, it was fun. I had fun watching movies this year.
You know what the Black critic thing made me realize? I remember you were doing the episode of your show. You had Aisha, is it Harris?
Yes.
Okay, she was a guest. And I think now she's with, like, the Times or something?
She's actually, like, I think she's with the New York Times, and I believe she's, like, a cultural editor. So she got the Mundane Festival bump, yeah.
Yeah, I remember listening to that episode, and it kind of, like, did this thing where it really humanized the critic in a way, you know what I mean? Because, like, she's still just a person.
Yeah.
And so she's just a person rooting for the movies that she likes and wants to see and whatnot.
Right.
And, you know, once you start rooting for something, it's like sports. You're going to root against something else. And
yeah,
to me, it always feel like that about every movie. Like when we do our movie reviews for our podcast, we separate the movie into what we liked and what we didn't like and what, you know, that kind of. And it doesn't really matter what the movie is. I can always think of something that a person could not like about it, you know, because all movies are kind of moving targets just depending on what your agenda is. And so I think what happens with most people is when you're rooting for something, you don't care about what people might not like.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it sound like, well, the shit I like is perfect and the shit y'all like, let me tell you what's wrong with it. And I think, you know, I don't want to be one of those people. So when the Oscars came out this year, you know, a lot of the stuff I was like, I really don't have a problem with this list because I can see a reason all of these movies pretty much made it for the most part. There's a couple people and a couple movies I'd like to have seen get, you know, some love.
Right.
But, you know, what the fuck? I did not look at that list and go, look at these terrible, shitty movies.
So, yeah, it's like, these are kind of good. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'd rather be out of the loop socially and, you know, okay, everybody has to hate Little Women, not me. Everybody has to hate Joker, not me. I'm completely fine with that. And I think what happened was it started with my slow burn of starting to hate Shadow and Act. And then,
dude,
once that happened, it was like I fucking woke out of the Matrix. I was like, wait a minute.
Well, what did you post? it was somebody black did something. Oh fuck! It was something, and I wrote, you posted it. I was like, oh, Shadow and Act must have just found out about. I forgot what the fuck that was. Fargo, season 4 of Fargo, because they have a lot of black people in it. Chris Rock and a rack of black people, and I didn't get cast or anything. Didn't even get an audition. But you know, like they were like, oh my God, Fargo. I was like, oh, they must have just realized that there was a Fargo series out.
Right.
They never.
You know my new shit. You know my new shit with Shadow and Act that I'm doing is I like watching when they get people hyped about the announcement of some shit, knowing that they will hate on that thing later, right?
So yeah.
They'll be like, you know, for example, like Game of Thrones prequel happening, and it's like all these black people. I'm like, you niggas are gonna hate that. when this shit comes out, y'all gonna shit on everything.
Oh
that
my
about.
God! Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny, man. They do that with like certain projects. It's not every project, but just like certain projects, I see them promoting. I'm like, that's not even close to the type of shit you guys support. Get out of here.
One of the things that like I appreciated about Aisha was like I love her, and she was like, when Black Panther came out, everybody was like, oh my God, this is a new day for black people and people of color in cinema. You know how everybody was going crazy about it, and everybody's telling you that they like Black Panther, you know, because you know, every white person you know and everything. And she was like, you know, I was like, how do you feel about all this? And she's like, well, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic. And I thought that was perfect because that was like, I was like, yeah, because then not that much changed. We had in 2016, we had Moonlight win in Best Picture. And after that, you know, like, I mean, Regina King won, you know, but it was just, it kind of like stuff kind of like tapered off. And it's been like, you know, Black Panther got the costumes and everything. But you know, that's kind of how I feel. And like that, I feel like maybe there's hope, and we are seeing more representation in TV and film. I'm getting called in for more stuff. You know, it's I think it's happening, but I will refuse to let racism keep me from enjoying these movies just because it doesn't get this award. And if God willing, if
I don't want to become the mythical, magical, reverse racist that people keep.
Yeah.
That white people use against us. And now mm-hmm. I'm like, fuck, man. This shit is starting to exist.
But they make us this way. They make us this way.
Right. But we're starting to like what I like about black people and what I like about being black is that we're not above like watching a white person dance and being like, go ahead now.
Exactly.
You know, we're not above that.
Right.
That's why we're special.
Right.
Like, just trying to be an imitation of white people is not special. I don't want that.
Right.
Eat that shit. We're doper because we will admit when a motherfucker is like not black and they're doing their thing. We will admit it and we'll embrace them and say, yo, we'll celebrate with you for it as long as you show love back to us. We're down. And that's what makes us so dope, man. We see how it goes with these other things. Like, white people do not do this for people. They,
right.
you know, like, you have to play the game to like, fuck with them. We're the only people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I don't like this shit. They try to do Awkwafina. Like, nah, it's okay.
Don't get me started on that.
You know, we were fucking having, we celebrate Kung Fu Kenny.
Yeah.
Not talking about Kendrick, but, like, Don Cheadle in a fucking, in Rush Hour. Like, we laughed at that shit. We laughed at, Kung Fu Joe and I'ma Get You Sucker. Like, we have mocked and embraced at the same time Asian culture for so long, and it's just been okay. And they better not get mad about Bruce Leroy, right? We gotta they better just let us, if we wanna make a comedy out of their fucking sacred martial art, they gotta take it.
Mm-hmm.
But let this woman talk in some fucking AAVE. We gotta cancel her. It's out of control. We're becoming the white people we declare the worst, man. I don't like that shit.
They're gonna hate this. No, I mean, dude, it's true. She's been on the podcast. Another person with the Mundane Festival bump, man.
Oh, for real? I haven't heard that episode.
It was like 2013. It's like when the show first. She's like one of the first, like the first batch of like. It's years ago. We used to watch Pretty Little Liars at a mutual friend's apartment.
Mm.
She's cool people. She's nice girl. She actually responded to a DM. I was like, you were great in The Farewell. You deserve it. I think I said something like, you deserve everything that you got coming for it. This was like last summer.
She killed that.
Yeah, she was good. It was just, you know, she was nuanced. How come she didn't talk like that? Well, she was playing Lulu, was the director, basically. That's who she was playing. And that chick, that director, was not like Awkwafina. But, you know, that's what you call acting. But, you know, what do I know?
Exactly. Like, so weird.
You know.
Oh, so weird.
I don't want to hold you for too long, but it's episode 400. Fuck it. And if you ain't got to go nowhere.
Nah, I don't gotta
go. Okay, what else? There was some other stuff. I mean, you alluded to some stuff that I kind of wanted to get into, but like talking about how I think you make a great point about how we're so as a people collectively, even though we're not a monolith. Okay, guys, remember. Don't at me. We're not a monolith, but collectively, sometimes we can accept people for doing a night. You live in a city where Christian McCaffrey plays football. That's a prime example.
Yeah.
He's a running back and he's white. Mm-hmm. That's one. How do you feel about the climate in Charlotte? Is Cam Newton coming back?
Oh, he's definitely coming back, man. David Tepper is not stupid.
Okay.
So the owner's already come out and been like, if Cam is healthy, that's the quarterback. And the number one plan is to get Cam healthy. That's the only plan right now. So he's not dumb. You know, I think I love what happened this season because it was like when that white boy came in and won like two games or whatever the fuck it was, everybody was just jumping out the bed. Oh, fuck Cam, man. This is what we, this is the new man. Yeah, this is what we need. And the league, you know, started, okay, let's go ahead and we got a little film on him. Let's go ahead and ratchet it up.
Right.
And he immediately started playing like shit. And I was like, yeah, this is why you need Cam, because even injured, Cam probably still gets this shitty team like 6 or 7 wins.
Yeah.
Like, while out there with one fucking shoulder, like it just is what it is. Some people just better at this shit than everybody else. And hopefully he learned his lesson this year when he sat down with that injury. Hopefully he's learned to like preserve himself and not to lie on an injury report and try to tough it out like that's all there is to football. So
right.
Anyway, I would love to see him back and starting. And, you know, I do understand, and I'm not, you know, knocking it. You know, we do have to get some kind of backup quarterback thing going at some point, just because Cam is probably from this point on going to be an injury risk. You know,
yeah.
Like, he's just had a lot of hits on his body, and that's just, I get it. It's life. But I think everyone that is in a position of power with the Panthers recognizes that, you know, a healthy Cam Newton is the number one priority.
Well, that's good. That's good to know. I'm concerned about that. I think there needs to be.
Yeah, I know you're a big fan of the black QBs. You know, they took a hit this weekend.
Dude, I was sick. You're back with no interruption. Yeah, dude, the last weekend, I was sick. I was inconsolable.
Yeah.
I
thought about you.
We need more black quarterbacks in the NFC. We only had Russell, and I mean, Lamar, I was really upset about. He had his numbers looked good, but it was just, he was just shut down, man.
And I am so glad I got off of that black quarterback narcotic. Cause
really? Wow.
Yeah, it was driving me crazy, man. I was starting to, like, argue with losers and shit that I have no business talking to, you know? And now I don't take the mental anguish and the hit that a lot of black people take.
Because
it went from, and this is totally to follow the internet and social media and TV and stuff, right? The argument was, and you correct me if I'm wrong, the argument was Lamar Jackson is not good enough to play quarterback and should have to, like, consider playing another position in the NFL. Am I not correct?
Is that not what the argument was? That's correct, yeah.
Okay. He has an MVP season.
Right.
Takes his team to the playoffs, and they lose in the first round. And I personally feel like he did play bad. I saw Bo kind of, you know, cave in. I saw, you know.
Bo caved in on it?
No, they caping, not caved in.
Oh, I appreciate that. Because, like, I appreciate.
Yeah, I know. I know.
That's
a lot
great.
Of these blacks will.
Well, no, Bo, like, I think when I used to call into the show, it's like, you know, he would always give an argument, like a salient point that would, well, I guess I got to consider that. Like, him or Michael Felder know more about it than I do. So, like, I'd be like, well, okay, I guess, yeah.
The argument was cogent, but it also was kind of like this, you know, it's confirmation bias. We want him to do well. We want to highlight where he. We know the pressure he's under, and as black people, we got to kind of hold the line, right? You don't want to acquiesce too far. But my point is, it wouldn't fucking matter if Lamar Jackson came out there, threw 17 interceptions, and fucking, like, shit on the field. It wouldn't matter. The argument was he wasn't supposed to play quarterback. So the racist people were already wrong. It was nothing, like, not that the game doesn't matter at all, but, like, people move the bar on that kid to, like, if he don't win a Super Bowl this year, it's going to make the races right. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, now we got to listen to these races. No, well, we don't.
Well, we put all that on it. Like, when he lost, I tweeted that they're going to make him cut his hair. Are they going to make him do that? Probably not. Obviously, they won't, but we take it.
He's Toby Jackson now.
Oh, God, dude. So I feel bad. Like, I don't think I'll ever, like, now when I was a kid, when a team that I liked lost, I would be sad. Like, I was kind of sick. Like, I was just kind of like, ah, fuck. And, you know.
I felt sad for y'all.
Yeah.
But I completely checked out of that racial quarterback shit. I'm done. It's a wrap, man. It's too much stress. It's not a healthy way to watch football.
We still have Patrick. We still got Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, well, even I'm not even for him, dog. If listen, one quarterback wins the Super Bowl, and most of the time, it's not even his fucking. It's not necessarily the quarterback as the reason they won. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can be a mediocre quarterback and still win the Super Bowl.
Oh, of course, of course.
So I'm like, I've just decided not to like watch football through the lens of if the quarterback is black or not, because it's too fucking stressful, man. It's too, you know, I root for my black QBs and all that shit, but like, I'm not trying to turn black excellence into like a thing that like can be used to like beat these guys down, because they're gonna lose. So, you know,
oh, I appreciate gotta lose. I appreciate that you can do that.
Yeah, man. I know. It's hard. It's hard for a lot of people. But I'm telling you, when I broke the mate, I remember who did I break it for? Because my boy Justin, we used to argue about this shit on the podcast, and I think it was it Tyrod Taylor?
Tyrod Taylor, yeah, yeah.
Tyrod Taylor was the one that I said, no, not this nigga. I remember Justin was making some argument, and Justin doesn't really watch the NFL that closely, but like, you know, we play fantasy or sure, watch Red Zone, yeah, or something. At the time, you know, I would watch a lot of football, and I had watched several of this dude's games, and Justin was like, man, look at his numbers, man. I don't know why these racist people saying blah, blah, blah. I said, Justin, I seen the nigga play, bro. It's not good. I know it's the white people are being racist and stuff. They always being racist, but like, they right about this one, and they gonna end up being right. Like, it's not like this one is just one where we got to take the L. And like, that was probably the one that I said, all right, well, cool, I get it. Black people gonna make it a race thing.
Oh,
white people
course.
Gonna just be what do you call it? When they not, they don't know they being racist.
Well,
what
I is don't. That you well, know. Yeah. Well, I don't think Tyrod Taylor is the best example. I would raise you, technically lower you, EJ Manuel. Where I was trying to talk,
EJ Manuel was actually like terrible.
Yeah, well, see, I was like, trying to tell. Yeah, Tyrod Taylor's an average NFL quarterback.
Exactly, he's not terrible. Is the
right
point? The thing that that's why it broke me, because he's like a face. like you ever go on Facebook and somebody's like, they'll post one of those things and they just put thoughts. It's like, it'll be like a woman in a fucking G-string bending over a refrigerator or something.
Yeah.
And somebody will be like, you walk in the kitchen at 3 a.m. and your girl sister like this. What you going to do? Thoughts? Right? It's a Facebook meme, right? Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of shit had to happen to make all of that shit be fucked up. Like, so that no answer would be okay. Like, and we're arguing about every little aspect of it, right? Well, why she got that on? What time is it? Well, it don't matter what people wear. Why she in your house? You know,
yeah,
that kind of, where your girl at? That kind of shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's Tyrod Taylor to me. He was like the perfect quarterback to make a big ass argument over that wasn't going to do shit. It was
like,
going to be okay.
Yeah, like Mina Kimes put out an article a couple years ago about him that was just like, yeah, he's just an average quarterback. He's solid, you know, he's fine. But the thing that got me straight, like Felder got me straight on, like, I was just, well, fuck, they just fucking racist about, like, EJ Manuel. He's like, Chris, he's not good. And I was like, well, I mean,
yeah.
He's like, Chris, he's not good. He's not a good pro quarterback. And I was just
yeah.
like, I was like, all right.
It's easy to do it with EJ.
Yeah.
Because he is so bad. But Tyrod to me is the one. Because he's, at least for me, that made me go, why do I feel a need to boost up a dude for being black? That shouldn't, like, I don't want to join white people in detracting for somebody from being black. But I also don't want to turn, like, my football brain off.
Yeah.
And be like, well, he black, he gotta be good. Like, that's nah. Why can't he be black and average? And that's good enough.
No,
you know
fair,
what I mean? Like,
fair enough. No, you're absolutely, what you're saying, you're making salient points. This
right.
is where
Because if not, Chris, you're rooting for some fucking 8-8 Buffalo Bills team against Tom Brady. It fucking, you know what I'm
this
saying?
This is like, where there's not that much. This is where there's not that much rationality when it comes to
So when Tom Brady puts Tyrod out the playoffs, you feel a little extra pain that I don't feel. That's what
yes.
I was saying.
Yeah, is Tyrod in the league? I don't even think he's in the league anymore, is he?
No, he's gone. But I'm saying I don't want to feel that extra pain. Is my point. I don't want to watch Jacoby Brissett get put out and be like, now this is also a racial pain that I'm gonna take on top of this.
No, he's with the Chargers. He's with the Chargers.
Okay, good for him, man. Probably never get on the field if Phillip Rivers out there.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the thing. It's one of the things that keeps me in it. And like engaged in the NFL, that's one of the things. Like with all the stuff that's going on, it's like, well, this is what I'll root for. This will be my agenda, and this is what I want to see. I still think Russell Wilson should have had two Super Bowls.
Yeah,
and you know, and we obviously know why they don't.
Right. Because if he was white, they would have got it.
And, you know, I think it was either Ba or Tone that tweeted, like, if Ryan Tannehill was black, he would not be in the league anymore.
Right, right.
And we know that. And I was like, yeah, this guy had so many chances. And, good for him. This is what America's about, second chances. Right. But do you think I'll be waiting with bated breath and hook if they beat the Chiefs this weekend? To watch the Super Bowl, I mean, I'll get some wings and stuff. You know, I'll get some wings and probably fall asleep at halftime. But you know,
yeah, I'll watch it. I'll watch it anyway.
Me too. Me too. Of course.
Yeah. Well, not just that, but I'll watch it excitedly because I don't give a fuck about that. Like I root for black quarterbacks, but I just don't put. I think it's. Putting an extra weight on them that is unfair too. You know, I'll give you a perfect example. You watch Insecure?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So you know Natasha Rothwell?
Yeah.
Okay, Kelly, Insecure. So some people, they watch the show and they're like, Natasha Rothwell, she's funny, she's a revelation, she's great.
Mm-hmm.
Love her. Favorite character. And some people watch it and go, yeah, but as a fat woman, why can't she be like a certain type of way? You know what I'm like? How come her character had to be the one that pissed herself at the thing? Why couldn't one of the skinny women have done that or something? You know what I mean? And so now you're almost ruining the show for yourself because you added an extra layer of shit that that's beyond just like whether she can just be one of the girls. Like, we don't say that when, you know, Molly fucking embarrasses herself for the 35th time. We don't go, well, that's just because she's skinny or whatever. We just are like, yeah, that's just Molly's character. But because we're watching it with that extra weight on it, it's like we're almost ruining the character for ourselves, right?
Kelly that's fucks. How I feel. Kelly fucks more because she's got a better personality.
But you can. I mean, respectability is work ways. They could, you know, they could find a way to shit on them. Well, fat women gotta be the one fucking. It's always some. It's always some way that
they
it's wrong.
Try harder. That's why. So let me stop. I'm right. Gonna get canceled. I'm turning into the more. I'm turning into JL.
Yeah, JL said that.
Yeah.
Then he would say the Trump outlet.
Yeah.
We know it's coming. Anyway, but what I was gonna say though is watching quarterbacks, black quarterbacks.
Uh-huh.
I start to feel that because. Like, it's not just too bad you lost, but then there's also, like, you let the race down this weekend with some fucking interception. So I can't turn that part off. So I just try not to start on the, like, you know, oh man, I hope Tyrod wins this weekend. I'm like, yeah, I do hope he wins, but like, also, it's okay if he doesn't. Like, I'm not gonna, that's not an indictment on black people, or that doesn't mean white people are better than us or any of that shit. But I think, watch, at least from the discussion I saw online, a lot of black people were so affected by the arguing and checking in with racists, the like, nah, 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 boo-boo all year on Lamar Jackson, that as soon as he lost, the first thing they did was go check like Colin Cowherd's timeline.
And, oh, I didn't do that. Yeah. You know, no.
Right, but I did see a lot of people do it. I haven't seen Colin Cowherd retweeted on my timeline all year until Sunday.
I don't think I have either.
You realize we're the one giving him traction with this bullshit. He's still wrong if he thought the dude should play wide receiver. This didn't prove anything.
Yeah.
Just fuck him. He's going to get a big-ass contract, and he's going to be the quarterback again next year. Because everyone in the world knows that dude is fucking good. You know? And yeah. I wish that we could just do that. I wish that he had the room to have a bad game. People were telling me it wasn't a bad game. I was like, nigga.
Oh, he had a bad game. Oh, yeah, he did.
For MVP? Yes, it is bad. And that's okay.
Guys are dropping passes too, though.
Of course. Of course, dog. Like, we don't feel that way about none of these white motherfuckers. Like, dog, Tom Brady lost, what's that nigga's name? Gronk. He lost Antonio Brown. He lost Josh Gordon. Man, I ain't give a fuck them wide receivers. I'm sorry.
I mean, he lost Aaron Hernandez, too.
Hernandez, like, dude has lost a lot of wide receiver talent in the last just the last 2 years, right?
He's so
good. But, dog, none of us give a fuck about that shit. We was like, ha ha, throw the pass better, white man.
But when he lost, didn't they seem like they they made it seem like it was a tragedy? And the Patriots, we don't know what Tom Brady's gonna do.
I mean, it was a tragedy when he threw that pick six. But a lot of black people was partying. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like we've turned in such a race thing that it goes. It's like black people online partying when he lost, and then white people, sad to see him lose. And then when LeVar lost, that's why the fuck it went the opposite way, because everybody was partying too hard. So now here come the races. Like, it's just stupid.
Yeah, we still got hope for Patrick. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, Patrick, you got to get it done, bro. Although I do feel like what he did was colorism to Deshaun Watson, and nobody's talking about it.
Okay, so this is what I think about that. I was rooting for the Chiefs because I felt like Deshaun doesn't have a team behind, doesn't have a better, they have a better chance to win against the Titans. Deshaun's just so good that he kind of covers up for a lot of the mistakes that they make. Just a lot of Patrick does too, but I feel like maybe they're a better team. Now let me ask you this.
Their defense is shitty.
Well, that's Patrick what I was going to get to.
He's just so fucking good, dog. He's so good that it just don't matter, bro. He can do anything, Bill. And when he was out there looking like Sean King, just
why they say he don't look like Sean King that used to play with Tulane in the Rams?
No.
Mm-hmm. Or the Bucks, mm-hmm. I mean? Sean King, the activist.
Yes.
I don't think he looks like him, though.
Look at him in that helmet one more time, bro. You'll see. He looked like Sean King a little bit in the helmet. Now, when you take the helmet off, he don't look like him. But I freeze frame him, throwing one of them touchdowns in the helmet. I said, damn, I can see it. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, the point is.
Low-key, though. If he had a thicker mustache, maybe, yeah.
If people didn't hate Sean King now online, they wouldn't have been offended by it, but them motherfuckers was mad. They was mad I made that observation. I said, what? It's not an insult. Take it back.
Is that what they said? Wow, dude.
You can't take back somebody looking like somebody. You know what I'm saying?
That's fucking crazy.
I can't be like, take it back. Oh, man. It was
God.
But my point being, man, that dude is good, but Deshaun Watson had some dogs with him too, man. The defense is better, I think.
You think? Does anybody fucking play defense?
Bro, I just think Mahomes that good, bro.
I mean, are the 49ers the most complete team in right now left, or what?
Maybe. I don't know, man. I still feel like Patrick Mahomes could expose your defense, bro.
That's what I'm hoping happens. That's what I hope.
Yeah. All this shit is cute, man. But Aaron Rodgers can expose their defense. All this shit is cute, man. You just never know what's going to happen. Like,
right.
You got to hope that your defense can bring it for two more games. But like, bro, Aaron Rodgers can just go Aaron Rodgers on your ass one time and it don't matter.
Yeah.
I'm hoping Patrick Mahomes can do that. You know what I'm saying? I just want to see Andy Reid get a
Yeah, I'd
Super
like
Bowl
to see him get something.
All the years shitting on his time at clock management and play call.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him win one. But yeah, man, and Patrick Mahomes, I love to see black people celebrating him.
Yeah.
Because he seems like the kind of dude that people would have been questioning his blackness not too long ago. But, you know, he's like a good quarterback.
Yeah. Well, they haven't said much about that. I guess when he gets more success and they find out his girlfriend's white, they'll probably.
Right. Colin Kaepernick used to not be black. People forgot.
Yeah.
Everybody is a Colin. I remember that year when he went to the Super Bowl and it was the playoffs. And on Twitter, I said something about black quarterback. And boy, white people was in my mentions, Chris.
Really?
They was mad at me. Like, he is, first of all, he is biracial.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He was raised by a white adopted family. And it was before Russian bots. This is before that time. These were genuinely upset Wisconsin white people that I called this man black.
Damn.
And I remember being like, are these motherfuckers crazy? But I bet you they let me have his black ass now. Won't they
will let you have him. Yeah.
Black as shit now.
The good thing about this Tennessee Kansas City game, I'll be on the road, so I won't have to like agonize. I can just look at the score, and maybe just I won't have to like agonize about it. So that'll be. You are right in the fact that if they do go to the Super Bowl, I will be nervous. So mm-hmm. You know when Kaepernick.
You can't really enjoy the shit no more because you low-key are just more concerned with the racial makeup of the quarterback. And like I said, I had to opt out of it for that particular thing. I don't know. It's too much. It's like saying Chick-fil-A doesn't taste good. You know, it's just too weird for me. You know, like when people say Tom Brady wasn't good because they don't like that he – is friends with Trump. I'm like,
oh, that's like
fucking best quarterback.
It's the same as
it's
the same as like Bill Cosby was never funny or Louis was never funny. Yeah.
Dave Chappelle was never funny all of a sudden. It's,
oh God,
it's too fucking
hard.
Just be mad, man. Just be mad at the thing you're mad at and leave it out and leave it at that, man. So I don't know. It made me check out because it was getting too stressful to talk to anybody about football, you know, black, white, didn't matter. Motherfuckers came with that agenda, and now you got to, like, line up with their agenda or you can't talk football. Like, get the fuck out of my face, man. I know if a nigga's sorry, he's sorry. If he good, he good, and that's the end of it.
And I appreciate the fact that you can do that, and that's why you're a great dude. Rod.
Yeah, man.
I think that's
it. I hate that you can't join me in this, man, but maybe one year, man. You just need to get broken once. I think what broke me was cheering for the Eagles all those years.
Dude, I was the same way. Do you know how sick I was when?
I mean, that was was my team. That was my team, though.
Yeah, dude. No, we talked. You don't probably don't remember it, but we talked about that before. Yeah, like that.
Yeah, no. You root for black quarterbacks.
I love Donovan McNabb because I followed him when he was at Syracuse.
I know. But it's not the same as that being like your one and only team.
No, that was my team. I used them in Madden. I love Donovan McNabb. Fred X.
I have a feeling that if Donovan McNabb like something happened to him and another black quarterback went, you'd be rooting for them too. You see what I'm saying? Like if Warren Moon went, you'd be like, oh shit, okay, Donovan didn't make it. Now it's time for Warren Moon. Black quarterbacks, right?
Oh, you mean like. Do you mean if Warren Moon was on that team?
No, he was like on the Vikings. Like when he went
with
the Vikings.
Oh, if they played each other? No, I would be sad for McNabb. I would be sad.
No, I'm saying Donovan's out of the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Donovan's out of the playoffs. They didn't even play each other. But now Dante Culpepper is going to a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been like, fuck Dante Culpepper. I don't want that nigga to win shit.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm mad my team is out. I'm saying it was a little, for me, it was an Eagles thing And I just happened to have black quarterbacks with Mike Vick and McNabb. You know,
It was a McNabb thing. It definitely was. I would have been happy for Culpepper. Yeah.
Right. That's the difference is what I'm saying.
That's a definite difference. But I still love the Eagles when McNabb. I was sad when he Yeah, that was that made me feel bad.
But at the same time, it's like that was what got me to stop just being like, black quarterback gotta cover for everything they did, because it's like, no, sometimes you can be black and play bad, and that's the end of it. It's not my job to go out and, you know, cape for you, dog. That's not what I signed up for. I signed up to help you win the game.
And I think when people come to cancel me, if I ever get any further success, this will be the episode. This will be one of the episodes that they go to and I'll still say, what do you want me to apologize for? I didn't see.
I'll tell you this much. If that happens, you would disappoint me if you didn't apologize and secure the bag. So I don't think you said anything terrible today, but if you did and someone was like, I don't like this shit, Chris, you better get that SNL job, okay? Don't you be like that white man.
I think I'm too old for SNL. I had a really good dream that I booked SNL, and then I woke up, I was like, I'm 40. You know, like Keenan aged into that. I mean, I would have a better chance if I was I would not have a good chance if I was a woman at this age. But
you know what? Leslie Jones made it at like 49, 48.
That's true. I don't know.
Never give up, bro.
Yeah, maybe I could get something and I could host it. I would host.
Right.
We'll never know. We'll see. We'll see.
I could see if you were pulling in like lawyer money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I could see giving up. Okay. But I say don't give up, Chris.
Oh, no, I'm not going to give up on the career.
No,
like,
SNL.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I get the allure and temptation of lawyer money, okay?
We've
seen what
smart.
It's done to the people.
Just, yeah.
They get satisfied and they're just like, you know what, fuck this shit. But
yeah.
I'm saying you're too close, man. Don't give up.
Yeah, I think I did have a good dream. And it wasn't, I don't know how it came. You know, sometimes you eat a roast beef sandwich, you dream about something, but I don't know how it happened. Where I said, "Oh my god, that was a good dream for once in a while," and I was on the show. Yeah. But yeah, a lot of people in showbiz try to act like they don't want to be on SNL. I never thought about that. I never fucking thought about wanting to be on SNL. Never. But here I am. You know, fuck that. You're lying. I think that's good. That's a good way to end it, Rod. That was so much fucking fun, dude.
It was fun, man.
Plug your show that everybody knows about.
Just go check out the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. It's everywhere you get podcasts. Me and my wife do the show 5 days a week, and we also have like premium stuff. But if you come listen to the podcast, we'll tell you how to get all that too. So thank you, Chris, for having me on episode 400, man.
Yeah, man. You know, and the show's always been good. I've always enjoyed it. But it seemed like you guys kind of hit. Do you ever feel like when you and Karen kind of hit a groove, like you kind of hit another level to the show, like there's another gear that you didn't think you had at all? Do you ever feel that or think about it?
Yeah, I'm reading this book by Questlove right now.
Okay.
And it's about being creative, being creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think of some of the stuff that I was reading in it today about just like creativity is a little bit about being in that uncomfortable space, but also being in that like mindless space. Mm-hmm. A bit. You know, that's where the best shit happens. And I think with the show, at least for me, I've kind of taken my hands off the wheel at some point and just been like, the show is going to be what the show is. And, you know, some days it's raw and honest and, you know, kind of emotional. And then some days it's like funny and silly and all that stuff. And I've just trusted the audience to go with us. And I think that's helped. And then also I stopped trying to have like a lot of guests and stuff. Not that I don't love our guests, but
right.
Me and Karen doing our thing is kind of the core of whatever's going to happen. And at least from my experience, I found that Karen contributes more and is more vocal and part of the show when we have less people on. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I love, you know, listening to her do her thing, and that's kind of the, you know, the crux of the show. So
yeah.
I don't know. And that's just kind of the phase we're in right now. You know, who knows? Maybe it'll change in the future, but I think people are really digging it. So
yeah, dude, because I'll point to a moment where I think I even tweeted at you guys where you were breaking down the MAGA rappers, the black MAGA rappers, whatever that episode yeah. was. Was that like it had to be before Thanksgiving, right? Last fall?
Yeah, it was.
And I was just like, what the fuck? Like, are you fucking kidding? Like, it was just like that. It's like this, is ethereal the right word? Like, it's like, I'll say, so there's these moments. I think I talked to Randolph about it the last time he was on, where it's like, I was at a concert. I was watching St. Vincent. And she was playing this guitar lick. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I just had this feeling, oh, my God. Like, it was just, like, another level of, like, excellence. Where it's, like, a fleeting moment that was just, like, you know, there's always been talent there with her and, like, with you and Karen. It's just, like, but then you reach this level where it's, like, oh, shit. And then, like, yeah. watching Little Rel special where I think he's a funny dude's always been funny, but his bit where he, I don't know if you've seen Live from Crenshaw yet, but like it's a part in his chunk where he's talking about his uncle dying, and this was a week or two before my uncle passed away, where he becomes the preacher. Yes, it's funny, but I teared up a little bit. I was like,
right.
I was like, fuck, man. So I feel like that's what you guys had. And there was one moment like within the last, like the last couple weeks where you start reading quotes from the books that you're reading and you reading excerpts from the books that you're reading, and you and Karen will have a discussion on it. And
right.
then like Karen went on this rant, and it actually happened in the last episode too, but it's like she went on this rant, she stopped, you hit the reading rainbow button. It was like, fuck, dude. It was just like the way it was just like the timing of that shit. It was just like, holy fuck. And it happened. So the listeners, what you guys are on 2020 now, the last one you did. So like the last on the main feed where it happened on this episode, too. But it's just like you were right on it with the button. And it was just like, fuck, like, OK, now, you know, I just wanted to cite those couple of moments that I appreciate. Yeah.
Basically jazz, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's just as we're just going out there and doing it. For me personally, like the last couple of weeks, my favorite thing was we had an episode of Balls Deep Sports, and I put it on the regular feed too, but I did an impression of Stephen A. Smith for like 45 minutes.
Oh, shit.
And
okay.
Yeah. Man, so many people were like hitting me up on Twitter, like, oh my God, this is the fucking best Stephen A. Smith I ever heard. And, you know, J.L. Covan told me it was a great impression.
Wow.
Like,
you got props from J.L.
I favorited that tweet, man. That's high praise. But,
wow. Okay.
But like, the thing is, I didn't plan that.
Yeah.
I didn't tell Justin and Karen I was going to do it before the show started. I don't know, the thing is they picked up on it and they were kind of like laughing, but kind of also letting you do
cook.
My thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And it's like that type of thing is so special and rare, and I'm just leaning more into it with the show. And I think, you know,
that's good.
As a comedian, I'm sure. No.
Well, you know, I felt like, you know, like I was thinking like this the past few months, I always think about like giving this thing up. And it is guys like you and Karen you know, the Firestarter guys, like the people in the community that just kind of just like make me, okay, I guess I can contribute in my own way. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like, yeah, it's like I kind of, I think about giving this shit up. But and then like I feel you guys keep me inspired. So, you know, I had to give you some you and Karen some flowers on that one. And those things, man.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. And I guess that's it, folks. Until next time, this has been episode 400 of the Mundane Festival podcast. Started this in March of 2013, inspired by, you know, the Three Guys On podcast, the Black Guy Who Tips, the Verzi Effect. Christian Polanco was a part of it in the beginning, and shout out to him and Andy Klein for, Andy, the sound isn't right. What do I have to do? You know, and so shout out to everybody that listens to the show. Rod, stay on the line. Thanks so much, Rod, for doing this, and we'll talk to you next time, folks.